Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And also the proud pastor of New Vision for Life, ministry, church, kingdom builders, all of the above, all of the above. And, of course, you know we have with me this morning my beloved armor bearer, my confidant, my administrator, my precious heart, my daughter in the Lord, just everything, so many things that she is to me. And that is because God divinely placed her in my life, and that's none other than Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beautiful. I am well. I still have a bit of this congestion, but to God be the glory. I am alive. I can see. I can talk. I can hear. I have all my functions. So with that, I am grateful and thankful.
Amen. Amen. Well, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. You know, I know that we, you know, almost daily we are texting each other, and then there are times when we're holding conversation. Yet, when we meet together here on Heart to Heart, and I know this is going to sound so corny, when we meet together here on Heart to Heart, and I hear your voice, my heart just goes pitter-pat, you know, like because I know we're about to do something, you know, together. And I love working with you and ministering with you. And yes. You know, just to hear your voice, you know, on Saturday morning, it's such a heartfelt thing. It really is. It really is. So
amen.
I thank the Lord
amen.
For you.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. To God be the glory.
I told you it's going to sound corny.
No, it's not corny. I love it. I love it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Yes, beloved. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I want to thank you also for these last couple of weeks. I don't know how long it's been or whatever the case may be, but you know, in the times that you have stood in for me during this season in my life and any other time, really. But just want to thank you so very much, you know, for taking charge and going forth and doing what was necessary to do. And it's always good when you're working as a team that when one is missing, the other one just jumps in and does, you know. And,
right,
and that's
right.
A good feeling. It's a sad thing when you have a team and you're the only one on the team that's working.
Right,
know?
Right. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm
very sad
you.
Thing, but I know that I'm here for a reason. 'Cause you always look back at how things unfolded. And although in the moment you don't understand why this is this way, why you're connected to this person in a way, why you're not connected to this person in a way, and in the moment that you are walking through those things, you don't quite understand it. But then when God starts unfolding and revealing stuff, it's you have those aha moments like, oh, yeah, that's why That's why I couldn't get connected to that person. That's why God had me doing A, B, and C for that person. And then just to see it come together, you know, is such a blessing. So, like, right now, I just see everything that I didn't understand. I see it coming together, you know, even to how I became your armor bearer. At first, I felt like, wow, like, I don't know how to do that. And, you know, that's like a very serious position to hold. And I've never been in this position. I haven't even really been in church like that to even understand it. And I just watch how God gave me the grace to do it because he wanted me to do it. So he gave me the grace. Mm-hmm. And so so even for those that may be in a position right now and don't know why they're in it, they feel inadequate as to, you know, how am I going to be able to do this? I don't have the background. I don't have the experience. And when God wants you to do a thing, a particular thing, he will give you everything you need to do it. And so I just watch how God just gave me what I needed to be your armor bearer. And I just see how just placing me in that position, how it just helped me grow so much. And I just love God for, you know, just who he is and how he orchestrates things and put things together where somebody else looking will say, that don't make sense, or, you know, that person doesn't qualify to be that or in that position or this, that, and the other. And God just sits and watch, and he's like, yes, she does. Yes, he does, because I chose that person to be in this position. And so because I chose, I will give them the grace and everything they need to make them successful and to get through what they need to get through while they're in the position. Just wisdom, knowledge, all that stuff. God will release all that stuff when you're where God wants you to be.
Amen. And that's so very interesting, you know, as I hear you say that. A lot of times people think that, you know, that you have to go through 4, 5, 10 years of training, you know, before you can be an armor bearer. But it is the spirit of your heart that, you know, God knew who you were, okay? He knew who you were before you knew who you were. He knew. And so putting you in that place before you knew all that came with that walk, he knew that even though you were saying, God, I don't know about this. I don't know what it takes to be an armor bearer and what is an armor bearer and so forth and so forth. He knew you would say yes to the assignment. Mm-hmm. He knew that. Mm-hmm. And in the assignment, what was in you, he brought that out, and then he gave you divine wisdom. And then, yes, you got the book knowledge of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got the book knowledge of what it takes. You have the book knowledge. You've got the on-hand training. Is that how you say that?
On the job
okay.
training.
On the job. There you go. On the job training. You got the on-the-job training. You got the part that's definitely not in the book. You know, we tell you over and over again, there are things that are taught and then there are things that are caught. You would only learn it because you were there on the job. You were there with who you being an armor bearer to and so forth and so on. And so a lot of those things come out. So, yes, when God first assigned you to the position, you know, you didn't know. You didn't know. But I look at you now. My God. You know, sometimes I look at you. You know how the word says that the Father made us in his own image? And sometimes I look at you and I say, if that's not a little Etta. And thank God for our differences, but we are so much alike. And then there are things, you know, what God is telling me, he's telling you. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that's what helps to keep us in one accord, okay?
Right.
That's what helps to keep us in unity, you know, down to the number of something, you know, that should be done. I mean, like when we were talking about the discipleship class that we wanted to start, and you know, God gave both of us 10 o'clock, you know, for the starting time, you know. And we had not discussed it, you know, but then a day when we came to discuss what time, we both said 10. You know, there's just so many things that we both are thinking about at the same time, and it can only be God. It could only be him, you know. So I just really thank God. I thank God for it. I thank God for it.
Yeah.
Well,
me
praise
too.
Be unto God. Oh, Lordy. Well, good morning to all of our beloved callers. Good morning to you. Good morning to Tamika. God bless you, woman of God. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to Prophet Kim. Isaiah in Pennsylvania and Isaiah in Chicago. Good morning to Rob in Pennsylvania, to Denise in Pennsylvania. Good morning to Prophetess Dawn. Good morning to Deacon Farr. Good morning to you, man of God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And good morning, of course, to all of the members of New Vision who come to support us. Who come to support us and stay close with us. Really, we love you guys. We love you more than we could ever tell you. But I pray that in our actions, you see our love. You don't only see it, you hear it, you feel it. You know that we love you. Thank you again, New Vision, for the support and the love that you give back to us. Thank you so very, very much. Baby girl, did you want to say anything before you pray?
Again, just good morning to each and every one of you all. Again, you know, when we get on here on Saturday mornings and we see the love and we feel the love, we are so grateful and thankful, and we just give it back to the Lord, because it's only by his choosing that we are here. And so we give you what we get, and we hope that, you know, you get it and that you are sharing it with others. And for those that will come back later and stumble upon Heart to Heart when they're searching for something else, may God bless you richly for the information that you will hear from all of these shows. And, again, we just give God glory, and we thank him for how he believes in us when we don't believe in ourselves. You know, how he trusts us when we don't trust ourselves at times. And so, Father, we just thank you, and we thank each and every one of you all for being here on Saturday morning, listening. You know, you could be doing other things, but you're listening, and then you could be doing other things, but you decided to meet us here every Saturday at 9 a.m. and support us. And we thank you for that. To God be the glory. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we listen for your voice, and we watch for your direction. And we just give you praise, Lord God, and all the things that we had to walk through, the things that we've had to encounter. What we did not forget is that you are with us. You are with us, Father, and you love us despite our mistakes, despite our faults. despite our character flaws, despite you love us and you love us unconditionally. You love us genuinely. And, Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for having us on your mind. Thank you for giving us that love that sometimes we can't speak about, can't explain. The love that goes far and beyond what we can understand or see. And Father, we just thank you that we have you to go to. We have you to embrace us, to hold us, to wipe out tears, to let us know that we matter and that we are loved, even if the people that we see every day don't show us love, don't tell us that they love us. We thank you, Lord God, that you show us and you tell us that you love us. And so, Father God, although we face these challenges and we don't have the answer, sometimes it's not meant to have the answer at that moment. Sometimes it's meant to just go to you and cry out to you and listen to what it is that you are telling us to do. We don't have to always have the answer. We don't have to always know the answer. We don't always have to have something to say. But, Father, we just give you the glory and thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for waking us up. We thank you for keeping us throughout the night because we don't know what we're fighting when we're asleep. We don't know the things that we are encountering in our sleep. And so, Father God, we thank you for the protection even throughout the night, Father God. And, Lord, I just lift up your young people to you, Lord God. I just lift them up to you, Father God, because it just seems like the teenagers, the ones that are in, middle school and high school, like they're under attack, bringing guns to school, some of them dying at school. Father God, we just lift them up to you, Lord God. You turn on your social media or you turn on the news and you see just another teenager has been shot. And these are young people that are younger than 20. And so, Lord, we just call out to you, Father God, for to help us or help us to see how we can help these young people, how we can help the community. How can churches effectively help the community and help them heal and help the children that are in these communities that are making bad decisions because either they're trying to fit in or they're scared that they're not going to make it home. And so, Lord, we don't know. And when I say we, I'm saying us that were that are not the millennial generation or the Gen Z generation, Lord God. I'm talking about us that were born before that. Like, we don't know what it is that they encounter, what it is that they are going through. But, Father, you can give us and you can show us those things that can help them and pull them through this, that they may live and they may not die before they become an adult. And so, Father God, we thank you for your heart of love. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Work through us and work in us. And we love you and thank you for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise amen. God. Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you so very
amen.
Much.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory.
Yes.
Thanks to God, there is much, you know, that we want to share this morning. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about the prophets and the different things in dealing with prophets. and how to, that we will be able to see and recognize certain things that lets us know that is a prophet. And more so, this is really for people that operate in the prophetic ministry and letting them know, or maybe those that are operating in ministry and who don't know that they're prophets, and the things we're saying, they would say, oh, my God, that's me. That's me. I might be a prophet, and causes things to be stirred up in you to do some more research on being a prophet, or some of the things that we will discuss, like when Minister Tabika was talking about, I think it was about being an armor bearer, and saying, so that's why I do that, or that's why I was drawn to such and such. And so we're hoping that some of those aha moments jump out at you, jump out at you, and so that you will learn prophetic types, you will learn prophetic functions, you will learn about being called and commissioned, the mandated, you'll learn about the trials and tribulations, and all of this, you know, assisting you in your walk in life. And so that's some of what I'm hoping with. Listen, watch this, y'all. Hear me when I say this. Hoping this is some of the stuff we will be sharing with you with Tabika's blessing, with her permission. with her permission that we will be able to share some of these things with you. We have been blessed to take some courses together, and we've had so many aha moments, like she said. I mean, like, wow, are you serious? It was enlightening, wasn't it, Tabika?
Yes, ma'am, very much so, very much so. Like, it's always good to have aha and enlightening moments, because it builds you up in a way to where you can begin to see God and hear God and basically see what it is that he's trying to get you to see. And so sometimes we are so used to comparing ourselves to other people that then begins to take shape and form in who we are. But then when God begins to show you things that you may have missed or didn't pay any attention to, and when he brings it to the forefront, really? Oh, my goodness. That is why, now I get it and understand. And it does something to you. It starts to heal your, in my opinion, it starts to heal your spirit so that God can get out of you what's already there.
Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I totally agree with that. And I love the aha moments. You know, These line up also, like when we did the spiritual gift, you know, when you do the spiritual gifts and you get those aha moments, like, oh, my God, that is me to the T. That is why I do such and such. Or when you hear a certain gift, you go, oh, Lord, that's Tabika. I see Tabika all over that, or that all over her, you know, or that is Deacon Banks, you know, I can see, you know, that I can see him in this description, you know. It really is something, and I just think God is so amazing. I think he is so amazing, and it's something that just hit me just now. When we talk about, you know, God has made us in his image, yet look how different each one of us is, and so that means that God's got all of that difference in him. He is all of that, you know. Can you imagine that, you know? He is all of that. And I guess that's the same when people look at your children, and when your children look exactly like you. I mean, you could be twins. They look exactly like you. two of you is different, you know. And in God's image, we are made to be like him. He said, in his image and his likeness, we are made to be like him. But I am me and you are you and Mark is Mark, you know, and whoever is whomever. And each one of us have, we're different. Each one of us is different. And God's got all of that difference all up in him, you know. So it's amazing. And it is truly amazing, truly amazing.
Yeah.
Well, what we're going to, what we're going to tackle here for a little while is the prophet in the marketplace. Prophet in the marketplace. You know, a lot of times we think that when we walk in fivefold ministry, that we have to come off of our jobs. We've got to be full-time pulpit ministry, church ministry, whatever the case may be. And that is not necessarily so at all. It is not necessarily so. You know, deacons don't have to come off their jobs to be deacons. A person with the gift of teaching does not have to come off their jobs to be a teacher of the word and so forth. And so we want to touch on the prophet today, the prophet. How does the prophet function in the marketplace? On your job, there are things that you can do, and you are able to do it because of the prophetic calling on your life. God will give you the things that you need to accomplish these particular things that we're going to bring out to you today. So let me start with the very first one, and there are 10 of them. We're going to see if we can get them covered today. But let's start with the fact that you're on your job, and the first thing is, what task is most important to your boss? What is it that that he desires to see done in on that job? What are his goals? Now, in your position, what his goals may not, you may feel that it does not have anything, well, it has to have something to do with your position, because everybody in that place that's working, the bottom line is that y'all are trying to reach the goal that has been set by the company for that particular department that you're working in. So everybody has that bottom line goal, but yet each department has its own goal to work towards in order to help the next group, that helps the next group, because so that all of you are sowing into the boss's goal, all of you, each one of you. It's just like in the church, every joint supplies. So, you know, I may be accounts receivable. Tabika may be accounts payable. Joyce may be collection account. Well, that would be in receivables as well, but still helping out with the collections. Lester might be a supplier that delivers the product that we're talking about and so forth. But each one of us, the company's overall goal is to make a profit. They have a particular number that they want to achieve and so forth in order to make that profit. And each one of us plays a part in it. Well, as a prophet on the job, not only are you concerned about your particular niche in it, as a prophet, find out what is important to your boss. You are able to pray and ask God to give you revelation on what it is. What could I do to let, you know, to make my boss's job easier? What could I do to bring his goal to pass? What could I do? And say to God, listen to me, listen. This will help you become successful. You helping someone else become successful, this will help you to become successful. This will open doors for you. There's many people that got promoted in their jobs because they did something above and beyond their personal call of duty, their personal call of duty. And because they did so, the boss saw that, and the boss recognized it, and the boss says, I want that person even more so involved on my team. So these things that we're sharing with you are door openers for you. Okay, the next one is leading the charge. Somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to blow the trumpet. Somebody's got to lead. Somebody has got to blow the trumpet. And as a prophet, first of all, we are all, as Christians, we are blood bought. We are anointed. We are natural motivators. And you get wisdom download. God backs up our work. And the successful you, the more successful you can become at work, the more successful you're going to become even in many other areas of your life. In many of areas of your life, you got to lead the charge. And listen, listen, beloved, not every prophet, hear me, not everyone is going to do all 10 of these things. Not everyone. So I don't want you to think I got to do all 10 of these things in the marketplace in order for me to be successful. No, there are things here that you'll see that you're doing naturally. Because, see, there are different types of prophets, and different types of prophets will do the different types of things. And so all I'm saying to you is that as you are doing these things, know that part of it is because the gifting that is in your life, the gifting that is in your life. I remember when Mr. Banks and I, when we went to a couple's something or other over on a Saturday, it was out of town, and we went there, and they had an exercise. They put us in groups, and let's say there were like maybe 10 of us in a group, and we were given an assignment to do. Oh, we were all given letters. And we had to arrange the people with the letters in order to spell out a particular word. And so, you know, so we're all standing there in our little crowd, you know, okay, what letter do you have? What letter do you have? And so yours truly, I stepped out from the crowd, and I told everybody, do me a favor, just line up and hold your letter up. And they obeyed. God bless their little hearts. Like, who am I, you know? But they obeyed, and they all stood in front of me with their letters. I could see all the letters instead of all of us standing there, you know, in the circle, huddled up and so forth. So now I could see all the letters clearly, and then I began to rearrange the people according to what I'm seeing, and bam, there was the word. I don't even remember what it was. The word came out because I could see the letters and was able to scramble them, and we were the first team that was finished. And so when this here says about the prophet leading the charge, you know, I just immediately I stepped out of the circle and I took charge. I took charge. You may find yourself doing that in your job. You may really find yourself, you know, doing that exact same thing, and that's part of the prophetic anointing that's on your life. That's part of it. That's part of it. Baby girl, go ahead. You can step in there.
Okay. I just wanted to go back to number one, when you talked about, you know, finding out what's important to your boss and, you know, just make that important to you. And so you may be like, well, how do I know what's important to, you know, to my boss, because maybe you've never met the boss, or, you know, how you have some companies where, you know, you may not see the boss, or you may be directly connected to your supervisor, but you don't really know the boss boss. So let's just take your supervisor or your manager. So the first thing that you could think about is, okay, well, before going like and going deep into it, you know that your supervisor would like you to come to work and be on time. While you're at work, making sure you're getting your work done, that you're staying on task, that you're, you know, making sure that whatever given to you to do, that you are doing it, and you're doing it in excellence, and you're giving your 100% while you are there. And so that's where you start. I know that's important to every boss or supervisor, just that portion right there. It makes their lives so much easier. And so just looking at a scripture that could go with that First Samuel 15, chapter 15 and verse 22, and it says, "But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams." So you can apply that to work. You can say, listen, whatever it is my supervisor is telling me to do, I need to be obedient, even if I don't understand it. And then you must just submit to what it is that they're asking you to do. Now, if you know if they're asking you to do something illegal, come on now. You know better. You know not to submit to that. You know not to do something that's illegal. So we're talking about what you know, what you're responsible for when you go to work. And so that is what's important to your supervisor, so you want to make that important to you. And everything can, you know, I ain't gonna say that. I mean, if you play your part, then you don't have to basically try to figure out what it is. So, like, you don't have to even be deep about it. You don't have to say, well, I'm not close to my supervisor, so I don't know what it is that he or she would want. If you just start right there, that's the beginning of making what's important to your boss important to you. And then be dressed for service. Be dressed for service. And so when you show up, be ready. When you know that it's something that your supervisor has been asking of the team or whatever, and you're seeing that people are dragging their feet, or maybe you see where maybe it's something that's causing it not to work the way that it should work. And God may have given you that answer. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to say, you know, what he said. So when we think about, when it says be dressed for the service, it can also mean your attire. You know, don't come to work with ripped up, dirty looking clothes. You know, make sure that your attire is presentable at work. And I just want to read a scripture that goes with you that may help with that, Matthew 22:11-13, and it says, "But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding, and he said, 'Friend, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes?' But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, 'Bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So when you come to work, be dressed for, you know, your position. If you work in the office, be dressed for your position. If let's just say you work you're a vet tech, you work in a veterinary, you work with an animal clinic or something, you're not going to wear your best to work in the animal clinic because you're working with animals. you're going to get dirty, you know. So you wouldn't wear your best to that. If you are the garbage man, you come, you pick up the trash, you know, you're not going to wear your best. You're not going to wear your best shoes and your best outfit, and you're picking up trash, dirty trash cans and dumping trash. So you know what to wear and what not to wear. And so make sure that you're presentable and ready for, you know, your job description. And then the next one, become a cheerleader. Become a cheerleader. Become the one that is not, you know, afraid to speak out, or the one that is not afraid to cheer on the team. Don't become a Debbie Downer where, you know, everything that somebody says, you always have something negative to say right behind it. Be the one to get people going. Be the one to cheer them up, because it helps in the marketplace. Because, you know, sometimes there are so many people that are on jobs that, you know, they have either outgrown or it's not their passion, or they just want to move on, but at the moment that they're in, they can't move on for whatever reason. This is almost like they need the job, and so they can't move on. And so if you come to work and you are the cheerleader, you see that they may be down, and you try to cheer them on, you try to make sure, you know, that they're going to have a good day. And now, granted, this may get on some people's nerves, but you just have to gauge the atmosphere. You have to kind of gauge the person sometimes. Sometimes you have to sit and watch people and don't say anything, but you sit and watch their mannerisms. You sit and watch how they react to things. And I'm not saying that you have to cater to everybody's personality, because that can overwhelm you and burn you out. But you have to sometimes gauge a person to know how to react to them. And then a scripture that I want to share for this one is 2 Chronicles 20, 21 through 22. And it says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And at that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. And so even at work, give thanks to the Lord, because you know that his faithful love endures forever. So despite what may be going on there, we have to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. I love it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And, you know, one of the things that I find, you know, so exciting about what we're doing right now is the fact that what we're speaking about, it is in the Word of God. You know, it is in the Word of God. The scriptures that are being shared, you know, tells you what it is that we should be doing. And then it's broken down. We are breaking it down into every day. This is what you should get out of that. And this this is what you can be doing at work. And it's in the Word of God. God's Word, you know, prepares us for so much. And we just need to get in His Word. And saints of God, I always want to encourage you that whenever you pick up the Word of God, please go before the Lord and pray and ask Him to give you revelation. Ask Him to give you understanding. Ask Him, you know, to divinely show you what it is that is meant by what you're reading. Okay, the next thing on the the prophet can do at the in the workplace. One is carry the team's burden. Carry the team's burden. So let's say you work very closely with someone, and you know, you see that they're coming into work depressed and so forth daily. Well, the first thing you can do without asking them all of their business is to pray for them. You know, to take on that responsibility to pray for your people that you're working with. Then if you have a relationship with that person, and y'all may talk about, you know, what it is that's going on in your lives, then do so in sharing that, but give godly wisdom. You know, it's a frustrating thing for me. I can't answer for anybody else, but it's a frustrating thing for me when you have a team of people working together, they're sharing their ups and downs and so forth and so on with each other, and somebody in that group may be saved, and yet right along with the group, all you give is worldly counsel. All you give is, this is the way the world does it, and so let's do it that way. You know, you could be having issues in your relationship, and you share that with the people that you're working with, and instead of them giving you godly advice, they give you advice that fits the world, that fits the world. Well, you don't have to put up with that. Why don't you go out and get somebody else? Why don't you do this and so forth and so on? That's not of God. And yet we are to carry each other's burden. We are to look at when we are in the workplace and what are we advising people to do. In Galatians 6 and 2, it says, bear ye one another's burden. And why are we supposed to do that? It says, and we so fulfill the law of Christ. We so fulfill the law of Christ that when we're carrying each other's burdens, folks, you know, we fulfill the law of Christ. And there's too many people that are in our pathway, on our jobs, that are not fulfilling the law of Christ, but they got a lot to say about what you should do or what you shouldn't do. And I can assure you, if you listen to what's being said, none of it takes you to Christ. It draws you away from Christ. It leads to your temptation of the flesh and so forth. And that is not what it means here when it says carry the team's burden. You know, you are a prophet, or you walk in the prophetic. And so, therefore, you should be giving godly advice, you know, to people instead of giving them worldly advice. What work is burdensome to your co-worker? Maybe God has you seeing what's burdensome to them because he's building your character. See, that's the thing. As you are seeing what's going on, your character may be being built because you're the one that saved. God is trying to get you to see how you walk in such a worldly manner that they think it's okay for them to be as worldly as they want to be around you, say what they want to say, do what they want to do. And then God will show you your character. If you agree with all of that, if you walk in all of that, you know, then you are supposed to be different from them. You are supposed to be different. So your character is revealed. I've watched Tabika and I both. We have been with groups of people that we've had to excuse ourselves from, what we originally thought was a good group to be associated with, we've had to pull ourselves away from it. Because when we look at what God requires of us and look at what was required of us to be a part of that group, it didn't line up. We weren't in alignment with what God was saying. So we had to come away from that and align ourselves with what God says. And it could get into to being a lonely place It can bring you into a place where, you know, people say, well, who does she think she is? She thinks she's too good for us, or she's so holy and so forth and so on. I definitely want to be where God would have us to be. I'd rather be aligned with him than to be aligned with the world, than to be aligned with the world. So do what you're supposed to do as we are carrying the burden of the team, helping the team, sharing advice, praying and asking God to give us godly wisdom. Let all of this be done to glorify God, to glorify God. Then the next one is give a helping hand. It's one thing to see the work that needs to be done and helping do something about it. So that is, again, another place. Like now, Tabika, well, I can mention it from when I was working in an office. I'm working in an office. I have an assignment that I have to do. And we worked in cubicle. And the person sitting next to me was having trouble getting something done. So I got my stuff done, and then I helped them to get their things done. And you know, that was not my job. It was not my job. But giving the helping hand is what glorifies the Lord. You know, being able to step off of what it is that you're doing and look at what needs to be done in their corner, and then go ahead and help with that particular thing. The scripture with that one, I'm trying to pull it up right now here. Okay, Luke 10, verse 33 and 34. Luke 10, 33 and 34. And it says, be a certain Samaritan as he journeyed, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him, So this Samaritan, he didn't have to do any of this. Other people, a priest had walked by, and other people had walked by, did nothing whatsoever to help out. But you, when you saw it, compassion in your heart, and you did something about it. So it's one thing to see the broken and the wounded and so forth. It's one thing to see that. It's another thing to do something about the hurt that you see. Do something about the hurt that you see. Now, in all of these things, you also have got to know where to draw the line. There will be people who will see your gifting, and they will take advantage of your gifting. They will have you trying to do everything for them, and they're taking advantage of your kindness. They're taking advantage of your compassion. They're taking advantage even of you being a Christian, because some of them will quickly say, but I thought you were a Christian, and here I need help, and you won't help me. You have to be very careful about these things, because then it's a mockery to God. It's not glorifying God. It becomes a mockery to God that every time somebody opens their mouth and tell you, I need this, I want you to do this, blase, blase, that every time that comes along and you are jumping in to do it, they no longer do for themselves. They're expecting you to do so, and then they have tainted what it was that God put in you to do. So give a helping hand to the people that you are associated with. This is in the marketplace. Give a helping hand, but be careful not to get caught up and be used by these same people. People that have been beat up at work, what is it that you can do about it? You know, there's certain people that they're going through so many changes at work, and they're being beat up, and nobody seems to care about it. you might be the one that's supposed to reach out and do something about it. But again, be careful, saints of God. Every single one of the gifts, every single one of the gifts that we have can be abused by unsaved people, and even those in the body of Christ can take advantage of those things. Now, the other thing, the next thing is be a catalyst to promote others. Be a catalyst to promote others. When you see that others have done a good job, be the one. And let's start with telling the boss, you know, that I saw where, you know, Tabika did such and such, and she did such a great job on such and such a thing and so forth and so on. And I just wanted to let you know. She might be, you know, a member of your team. She's a member of your team. And you were happy with her contribution to the project that you had going on. Don't just keep that to yourself. Tell it to your boss. You may not be her supervisor, but you are a team member. Well, then tell the supervisor what a good thing that she did, what a good part that she played in that position or on that particular project. Excuse me, on that particular project. There may be even a promotion that's coming up. Now, this one, some people would say, wait a minute, hold up. But there may be a promotion coming up, and you want that promotion. But guess what? Tabika is better fit for the promotion. Would you be the person that would go to your supervisor and brag on what Tabika has done and so forth, giving her kudos to your supervisor and knowing that when you do so, that you singing her praises may put her in the place for her to get the very promotion that you yourself wanted? I know that can be a tough one for a lot of us. That can be a tough one. But however, this is what we as prophets, prophetic people, men and women of God, this is some of the things that we're able to do. How many people have been promoted on your job because of you? How many people got the better position? It may not be a promotion, but it may be it's on the same level, but it's a different position. It's on the same level, but it's a different position. How many people have done that for someone? Galatians 4, help me, Jesus. Help me. We're Galatians 6, verses 7 and 9. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. Don't think that God is going to be mocked by the things that you do and the things that other people. He sees when we're doing good and the purpose of heart of why it's doing it. He sees it. He sees and knows if you're sowing to the flesh. If you're sowing to your flesh, you are going to reap corruption. That's the word of God. And God's word does not return unto him void. And if satisfying your flesh is the main thing for you, woe be unto you. Woe be unto you. He says, you're going to reap corruption. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. God's not going to change his word to appease you and to make you feel comfortable in your sowing to the flesh. He's not going to change it. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. reap life everlasting. Beloved, you may go ahead, sweetheart.
Yes, ma'am. I'm looking at the time, and it's already 10 o'clock, and I'm like, where did the time go?
Go. Right. Yeah, I heard that. Yes, ma'am. That is very true. Very true. Well,
wow.
Just quickly then, yeah, because it's only, what, three more left. Just quickly then tell what they are. We don't have to elaborate much on it, but in case somebody was actually taking some notes, just give
okay.
them the skill and the scripture.
Okay. So pay your skill forward. That means to share, pour into others. If you see someone with leadership capabilities, pour into them. Teach them what you know. Teach them what you've
mm-hmm.
learned. You know, don't be afraid to do that. The next one is have the answers. So somebody comes to you at work, and they may have something that they need to work through, or they had something, maybe they were trying to complete an application for whomever, and they needed help on a certain part of it. They didn't know how to answer it. Have the answers. Sometimes some people don't want to tell people what they know. They want to keep it all to themselves so that they can feel that they're needed and that they're irreplaceable. So it's like the more they know, the more they feel like they can't be replaced. So they, in their heads, they don't have to worry about the employer letting them go for any reason because they know everything. So be the one to have the answers. Be the one to share when you have the answers. Don't hold on to information. And support potential future leaders. That's what I said. You
mm-hmm.
see, you know, leadership, somebody with a leadership capability, pour into that person or persons. Don't be afraid to share what you know, because guess what? God is going to look out for you. He's going to make sure that you get what you need. He's going to make sure that you prosper because he can see that you are supporting his children. And that's what it's all about, supporting one another. Stop being so afraid to pour into people and give what you know and holding on to information because you think that's making you irreplaceable. Pour into others just like somebody poured into you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, okay, beloved, I pray that you were able to see why you do some of the things that you do at work. You were able to see where somebody else at work is doing some of these things to you. And it may be because they are a prophet in disguise. They are a prophet in disguise. And understand that you can be a blessing in the workplace. Profit or no profit, you can be a blessing in the workplace. You can be any of the fivefold ministries and do some of these things and be a benefit to, I started to say you're a man or woman of God, be a benefit to your supervisors. So remember those things. These are 10 functions that can open up the door to your success, you helping somebody else succeed. We thank you so very much for being with us today. We always, you know, thank God, you know, for the time that we share together. And
yeah.
We will be back here again next week, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell somebody about it and have a blessed weekend. God bless you all. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.